Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. We dive into stories of true crime, from unsolved cold cases to historic kidnapping to gangsters and beyond. We are your source for true crime. We thank you for listening.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
In the heat of World War II, an Allied mission unfolded that defied all odds. A daring heist so bold and audacious that it left the Nazi forces completely stunned. This wasn't just another military raid, it was a high-risk operation that many believed could never succeed. Yet against all expectations, it did. Today, we're peeling back the curtain on Operation Postmaster, one of the most secretive and incredible missions of the war. You'll hear how a small team of commandos slipped into enemy territory, hijacked several Axis ships, and vanished into the night, all without a single shot fired. We'll uncover the intense planning, the key players, and the dramatic moments that nearly unraveled it all. But there is much more to this story than just a heist. The impact of this mission sent shockwaves through the enemy, and prove that no target was too bold for the Allies. You won't want to miss a second of the remarkable tale. Just imagine an impossible heist, enemy ship stolen in plain sight, and a mission that would change the course of naval warfare. Let's dive into the unbelievable story of Operation Postmaster. In the midst of World War II, naval dominance was critical. The war wasn't just being fought on land or in the air. Controlling the seas was just as crucial. The Axis powers relied heavily on supply ships and military vessels to transport resources and maintain their strongholds across Europe and Africa. Every ship was vital to this war effort, making them high-value targets for the Allies. The question was, how do you take out enemy ships without launching a full-scale naval assault or alerting the enemy to your presence? The solution came in the form of Operation Postmaster, an incredibly daring mission with one goal: steal Axis ships right from under their noses. The operation was simple in concept, but bold in execution. A small team of Allied commandos would infiltrate the neutral Spanish-controlled island of Fernando Po, where several Axis ships were anchored, seemingly safe from any threat. These ships weren't just ordinary vessels, they were crucial assets that the Nazis and their allies needed to maintain control in the region. What made Operation Postmaster so bold was the risk. The island was in neutral territory, and any misstep could have sparked an international incident, possibly bringing Spain into the war on the Axis side. Not to mention, these commandos would be deep in enemy-controlled waters, outnumbered and operating without the ability to call for backup. This was a high-stakes gamble, one that seemed impossible to pull off. And yet, against all odds, the mission didn't just succeed, it sent shockwaves throughout the Axis forces, proving that no ship, no matter how well protected, truly safe from Allied ingenuity. By 1942, World War II was in full swing, with fierce battles raging across Europe, Africa, and the Atlantic. The fight for control of the seas was particularly crucial. For the Axis powers, led by Nazi Germany and fascist Italy, maintaining secure naval supply routes was essential to keeping their war machine running. These supply lines were the lifeblood that transported weapons, troops, and vital resources to various fronts, particularly to North Africa, where the Allies and Axis were locked in a brutal struggle for control. In North Africa, General Rommel's forces relied heavily on the constant flow of supplies from Europe. Ships carrying fuel, ammunition, and other essentials were critical to sustaining the Axis advance. For the Allies, disrupting these supply lines wasn't just a strategic goal, it was a necessity to weaken the Axis foothold in the region and turn the tide of the war. This is where the island of Fernando Po in Equatorial Guinea enters the picture. Located off the coast of West Africa, Fernando Po was under Spanish control, making it officially neutral in the conflict. However, the island had become a temporary haven for several Axis ships, particularly Italian and German vessels, which sought shelter there, knowing they were safe from direct attack under international law. But the Allies couldn't afford to let those ships continue operating freely. They posed a serious threat to Allied naval forces in the Atlantic, and their protection in neutral waters made them almost untouchable. That is, until the audacious plan of Operation Postmaster was hatched. A mission to steal these vital ships right from under the noses of the Axis powers, without triggering a diplomatic disaster with Spain. To understand how such a daring mission like Operation Postmaster came to be, we first need to introduce the Special Operations Executive, or SOE, which was formed in 1940 by Winston Churchill. The SOE was a British wartime organization tasked with sabotage, espionage, and guerrilla warfare. Their mission? Set Europe ablaze by carrying out covert operations deep behind enemy lines. The SOE specialized in unconventional tactics, the kind that could disrupt Axis forces in ways traditional warfare could.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
By 1942, the SOE was looking for new ways to weaken the Axis war machine. Fernando Po, a small island off the coast of West Africa, became an unexpected but crucial target. Several Axis ships, including Italian and German vessels, had taken refuge in the island port, confident that they were safe due to Spain's neutrality. These ships were vital to the Axis effort in Africa, transporting troops, supplies, and resources to the North African front. If these ships could be taken out of action, it would deliver a significant blow to Axis naval operations. But attacking ships in neutral waters posed a serious problem. Spain, while officially neutral in the war, had sympathies towards the Axis. Any direct assault on Spanish territory could trigger a diplomatic disaster, possibly drawing Spain into the conflict on the side of the Axis powers, a risk the Allies couldn't afford to take. That's when the idea for Operation Postmaster was born. Rather than destroy the ships and spark a major incident, the SOE came up with a plan that was as bold as it was dangerous. They would steal the ships. A small team of commandos would infiltrate Fernando Po under the cover of night, board the Axis vessels, and sail them away, all without a single shot fired. The mission was designed to disrupt Axis supply lines while avoiding the political fallout that a direct attack would cause. The purpose of Operation Postmaster was clear: strike at the heart of the Axis war effort in North Africa by seizing valuable enemy assets. It was a high-stakes operation, one that combined tactical ingenuity, the kind of audacity that only the SOE could pull off. At the heart of Operation Postmaster was a small, elite team of commandos, handpicked from the SOE's small-scale raiding force. This unit was specifically trained in covert operations, sabotage, and guerrilla warfare, capable of carrying out high-risk missions far behind enemy lines. The leader of this daring team was Major Gus March Phillips, a highly experienced and resourceful officer who had already earned a reputation for bold and unconventional tactics. Major March Phillips and his team were no ordinary soldiers. They were part of an elite group trained for operations that required stealth, precision, and nerves of steel. These commandos were skilled in everything from hand-to-hand combat, navigating enemy territory under the cover of darkness. Their training emphasized sabotage and deception, tactics designed to inflict maximum damage on the enemy without engaging in direct combat. For Operation Postmaster, their mission required not only technical expertise, but incredible courage. They would be infiltrating Fernando Po, a neutral island where any misstep could result in diplomatic disaster, or worse, captured by the enemy. The island was surrounded by Axis sympathizers, and the commanders knew if they were caught, there would be no backup, no easy escape. They were on their own, deep in enemy-controlled waters. Despite the overwhelming risks, this small group of men was determined to carry out the mission. They knew that success would deliver a heavy blow to the Axis forces in North Africa, and failure could lead to serious consequences, not just for them, but for the entire Allied war effort. Yet, it was this very combination of skill, determination, and sheer audacity that made them the perfect team for such a dangerous mission. They were willing to risk everything to turn the impossible into reality. Operation Postmaster was a mission that left no room for error. The commandos had to meticulously plan every detail to ensure they could infiltrate Fernando Po, steal the enemy ships, and escape without being detected by Spanish authorities or Axis forces. The success of the mission hinged on precision, timing, and complete silence. The first major challenge was approaching Fernando Po undetected. The island's port was a busy area with both civilian and Axis-friendly traffic, and the Spanish authorities were constantly on alert for any sign of Allied interference. The commandos had to navigate past enemy patrols and avoid raising any suspicions, all while operating in neutral waters. They couldn't risk a confrontation, as any open engagement would lead to a diplomatic crisis that could drag Spain into the war on the Axis side. To solve this, the commandos used motorboats. These boats were fast, maneuverable, and most importantly, quiet. Under the cover of darkness, they would approach the anchored Axis ships, making sure to avoid any lights or patrols in the harbor. The entire operation had to be executed in silence, no gunfire, and no alarms. Commandos couldn't afford even the smallest sound that could tip off Spanish authorities or wake the crews aboard the ships. Once they reached the enemy vessels, the commandos had to act swiftly. The plan was to board the ships using grappling hooks and ropes, silently overpower any crew members they encountered, take control of the vessels before anyone could raise the alarm, and neutralize any potential resistance. They carefully targeted key areas of the ship, such as the communication systems, to ensure that no distress signals could be sent. They also planned to disable alarms, cut the mooring lines, and then sail the ships out of the harbor as quickly and quietly as possible. It was a high-risk, high-reward operation. The commandos had to anticipate every possible scenario, alert crew members to mechanical issues, and be ready to adapt at a moment's notice. The slightest mistake could expose the mission and lead to capture or worse. But if everything went according to plan, they would sail away with the Axis ships, leaving the enemy forces in shock and the Spanish authorities none the wiser. The night of January 14th, 1942, was as dark and quiet as the commandos had hoped. Under a moonless sky, the small team of SOE operatives set off from their hidden base, small motorboats cutting silently through the waters towards Fernando Po. Every man knew the stakes. This was a one-shot operation. They were detected, the entire mission would be over before it began. As they neared the island, the tension was palpable. The Axis ships, two Italian vessels and one German, were anchored in the port, their crews likely resting, unaware of the approaching threat. The challenge now was to avoid detection by local Spanish authorities patrolling the harbor, as well as any Axis sympathizers who could alert the ship's crews. Commandos skillfully navigated their small boats past any patrols, hugging the shadows of the coastline. Every sound seemed amplified in the stillness of the night. The flash of the oars, the hum of the motorboats, they had to remain absolutely silent to avoid raising any alarms. When they reached the first ship, the tension peaked. Commandos threw grappling hooks up the side of the vessel and quietly climbed aboard. Every move was calculated to avoid making noise. No sudden steps, no loud whispers. The crew was sleeping, but any small disturbance could awaken them and jeopardize the mission. Then came the moments of suspense. As the commandos began disabling communications and cutting the mooring lines, the possibility of disaster loomed over them. What if one of the crew members woke up? What if the Spanish Harbor Patrol spotted them? These thoughts must have run through their minds as they methodically worked to seize control of the ships. In one instance, they narrowly avoided disaster when a noise alerted one of the crew members on deck. Commandos froze, heartbeats pounding in their ears. Fortunately, after a brief glance around, the sailor returned to his bunk, unaware of the intruders silently moving around him. Despite the intense pressure, the commandos managed to pull off the impossible. Without firing a single shot, they had neutralized any potential resistance on the ship and successfully disabled the alarms. The Axis crews were still sound asleep as the commandos took control of the vessels. One by one, the commandos cut the ships loose and began sailing them out of the harbor. As the motorboats towed the ships into open water, the team must have felt a surge of triumph. They had accomplished the unthinkable. stealing enemy ships from a neutral port under the nose of the Axis and Spanish authorities without being detected. By the time the Axis and the Spanish authorities realized what had happened, ships were already on their way to Allied control waters. With the enemy ships under control, the commandos knew their mission was far from over. The real challenge was just beginning. They had to navigate these captured vessels out of Fernando Po's harbor into Allied waters, all while avoiding detection by the Axis forces and Spanish authorities. It was a tense race against time. Any moment, a patrol could spot them, or worse, the Axis crew could awaken and raise the alarm. As they silently maneuvered the ships away from the island, the commandos faced the possibility of being spotted by Spanish patrol boats. Although Spain was officially neutral, any sign of Allied activity in their harbor could create a diplomatic crisis. Commandos had to balance speed with caution, guiding the captured ships out of the harbor quietly and efficiently as possible. Every ripple on the water seemed like it could draw attention. There were several moments of nerve-wracking suspense. Commandos knew that if they were caught during the escape, they could face immediate capture or worse. As the ships crept through the dark waters, the team had to maintain absolute focus, keeping their movements controlled and their presence hidden from prying eyes. One close call came as the commandos passed near a Spanish patrol boat. The patrol could have easily sounded the alarm, but luck was on their side. Darkness of the night and their stealthy approach allowed them to slip by undetected. The tension was overwhelming, but the commandos remained disciplined, steering the ships through these dangerous waters. Once clear of the harbor and its surrounding patrols, the commandos still had to navigate the enemy-controlled waters, the Gulf of Guinea. They knew they couldn't relax until they were far enough away to ensure no pursuit from Axis forces or Spanish authorities. It was a delicate balancing act, moving swiftly enough to escape, but cautiously enough to avoid raising any suspicion. Remarkably, the commandos managed to complete the entire operation without triggering any major diplomatic incident. The Spanish authorities, who were responsible for maintaining neutrality, likely discovered what had happened only after it was too late to respond. By the time the Axis powers realized their ship had been stolen, the vessels were already safely on their way to Allied control waters. The operation had been a masterclass in stealth and precision. Not only had the commandos hijacked the Axis ships without firing a single shot, they had also managed to sail them out of a neutral port without any direct conflict. The success of the escape meant that the mission remained shrouded in secrecy, avoiding the kind of fallout that could have escalated tensions between Spain and the Allies. By the time the stolen ships reached Allied waters, the commandos could finally breathe a sigh of relief. They pulled off the impossible, sailing away from enemy-controlled territory with some of the Axis's most valuable assets, all while maintaining the covert nature of the mission. Operation Postmaster had been a success. But you may wonder, how exactly did the Nazis and the rest of the world respond, or react, I should say? When news of Operation Postmaster reached the Axis powers, the reaction was one of disbelief and shock. The loss of the ships wasn't just a tactical blow, it was a psychological one. The Nazi and Italian forces, who had relied on the safety of neutral waters to shelter their vessels, were stunned that the Allies had the audacity and capability to pull off such a daring heist right under their noses. For the Nazis, the operation was more than just an inconvenience. It represented a fundamental shift in the nature of the war. Up until then, neutral territories were considered off-limits to direct Allied attacks, especially for something as bold as stealing ships. Operation Postmaster shared that expectation, sent a clear message to the Axis. Nowhere was safe, not even in neutral waters. The Allies had shown they were willing to bend the rules of warfare to strike at the heart of the Axis war machine. The shockwaves extended beyond the loss of the ships themselves. The psychological impact on the Axis powers was profound. The Nazis and Italians, who prided themselves on maintaining strict control over their assets, suddenly left vulnerable. The Allies could successfully steal ships from neutral harbors. What other covert operations might they have in store? This operation planted seeds of paranoia within the Axis leadership, forcing them to divert resources to protect their assets in what were previously considered safe havens. The success of Operation Postmaster also sparked fear that similar operations could be carried out in the future. The Axis were left wondering, where would the Allies strike next? Would their supply lines or critical infrastructure be targeted in the same stealthy manner? The unpredictability of Allied covert operations began to weigh heavily on the minds of Axis commanders. Beyond its immediate impact, Operation Postmaster also influenced Allied strategic thinking. The success of this mission reinforced the value of unconventional warfare and covert operations. It showed that small, highly trained teams could achieve significant results without engaging in large-scale battles. This mission became a model for future Allied operations that focused on stealth, sabotage, and surprise, urging commanders to consider more daring and creative strategies. The operation also highlighted the importance of disrupting Axis supply lines, particularly in North Africa. By targeting key logistical resources like ships, the Allies could weaken the Axis without needing to directly confront them on the battlefield. This approach would play a crucial role in future naval warfare strategies, especially campaigns where resources were stretched. Ultimately, Operation Postmaster wasn't just a tactical victory, it was a psychological one. It proved that the Axis powers, no matter how well prepared or protected, could be outwitted and outmaneuvered by Allied ingenuity. While Operation Postmaster was a daring military success, it also walked a razor-thin line diplomatically. The island of Fernando Po, where the Axis ships had been anchored, like we mentioned, was under the control of Spain, which was a neutral country during World War II. Spain's neutrality meant that any overt military action in the territory could have sparked a serious diplomatic crisis, one that might have altered the course of the war. For the Allies, this was a delicate situation. Spain had remained officially neutral throughout the war, but it leaned toward the Axis powers, especially Nazi Germany, due to ideological ties between Francisco Franco's regime and Hitler's fascism. The operation had been detected or gone wrong, it could have drawn Spain into the conflict on the side of the Axis, a potential disaster for the Allied cause. Spain controlled key strategic locations such as the Canary Islands, and an alignment with the Axis would have severely complicated Allied naval operations in the Atlantic. Commandos involved in Operation Postmaster knew the risks. Any sign of overt Allied military action could have been interpreted as a violation of Spanish sovereignty. Diplomatic backlash could have easily followed, and worse still, the Nazis would have likely exploited the situation to pressure Spain into more open support for the Axis. Consequences of failure could have extended far beyond the loss of a few ships. It might have shifted the balance of power in the Mediterranean and Atlantic theaters. What makes Operation Postmaster even more remarkable is how the Allies managed to pull it off without sparking a diplomatic crisis. The entire operation was executed with such precision and secrecy that by the time the Spanish authorities realized what had happened, ships were gone and the commandos safely out of reach. With the daring operation behind them and the Axis ships safely in Allied hands, the question remained, what became of these stolen vessels? After the commandos successfully hijacked the ships from under the nose of the Axis and Spanish authorities, captured vessels were quickly evaluated for their strategic use by the Allies. These ships were of considerable value, weren't just symbolic trophies from the raid, but had potential assets for the war effort. The ships were repurposed for the Allies, adding to the fleet that was crucial for controlling the Atlantic and supporting operations in Africa. At the time, every ship counted, and seizing these vessels not only deprived the Axis of important resources, but also bolstered the Allies' naval capabilities. The ships were used in various supporting roles, such as transportation and supply, contributing to the broader Allied effort to disrupt Axis operations in North Africa and beyond. This successful operation also sent a clear message. Nowhere was truly safe for Axis assets. It forced the Axis powers to reconsider the safety of their ships, even in neutral harbors, creating a ripple effect that led to increased paranoia and greater resource allocation protecting their remaining vessels. The Nazis, in particular, began to take greater precautions, fearing that similar operations could be carried out elsewhere. For the SOE, the success of Operation Postmaster was a major validation of their covert warfare strategy. It demonstrated that small, highly trained teams could deliver decisive blows to the Axis without the need for large-scale military engagements. This mission reinforced the SOE's approach of using sabotage and stealth to undermine enemy efforts, setting the stage for future operations. Operation Postmaster was a shining example of Allied ingenuity, courage, and the power of covert warfare during World War II, from the meticulous planning to the flawless execution. This incredible heist sent shockwaves throughout the Axis powers and showcased just how bold the Allies could be. But as daring as this operation was, it was just the beginning of a long legacy of covert missions that shaped the course of history. In the modern era, these tactics evolved into even more precise and high-stake missions. In our next and final episode of the season, we'll be diving into one of the most famous covert operations of the 21st century, Operation Neptune Spear, a mission that led to the capture and killing of Osama bin Laden. It was a raid that captivated the world, carried out by a small team of Navy SEALs under immense pressure and secrecy. Join us next week as we peel back the layers of that historic mission, exploring the planning, the risks, and the moments that almost unraveled the entire operation, from the skies over Pakistan to the compound where bin Laden was found. We'll break down the thrilling details of the raid that changed the course of global counterterrorism. Trust me, you won't want to miss the season finale. Before we go, don't forget to give us a thumbs up if you like our video. Hit that subscribe button down below. And let me know your thoughts on Operation Postmaster. Of course, before we go, we'd like to highlight our affiliate of the episode, and that is Audible. Are you ready to dive into the world of audiobooks, podcasts, and exclusive content? With Audible, you can enjoy captivating stories, learn something new, or simply relax with a perfect listen anywhere, anytime. Right now, Audible is offering a free 30-day trial just for you. Sign up today at audibletrial.com/larry21 to get your first audiobook free. Choose from thousands of titles across every genre, from best-selling novels to inspiring self-help, true crime, and so much more. Don't miss this chance to explore Audible and discover your next favorite book. Sign up at audibletrial.com/larry21 or use the link in the description. Start listening today. And with that, if you'd also like to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. Your support helps the channel grow, upgrade our equipment, bring in new hosts, be able to pay them, and one day take this show on the road. We'd love to feature episodes live from infamous crime scenes across the country and possibly one day across the pond in Europe or other countries. And your support can help make that happen. Whether it's $1, $5, $10, $50, or $100, every amount helps and goes right into the channel and helps us become even 1% better. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We hope to see you next time. Take care.
You have been listening to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. Thank you for listening. You can follow us on Facebook at True Crime Never Sleeps podcast and on Twitter at True Crime NS. And follow us on Instagram at True Crime Never Sleeps. Thanks for watching. If you want to support the show, buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS or become a patron at patreon.com/truecrimeneversleeps.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.